Today we're going to talk about Exodus 17, and the title of the message is called Wasted Opportunities. I know that's strong, huh? But if you're writing notes, the outline is going to be our opportunity to believe, our opportunity to depend, our opportunity to have victory, and our opportunity to serve. Last week, we had Antonio Reyes here, and it was sad that we missed him. We were at a leaders and pastors conference in Ensenada. We missed you guys, and hopefully they told us to treat you guys better. So we learned some stuff. It was a really good conference, but it's hard to be away, so I'm glad to be home today. But last week, he was talking about chapter 16. And we're in this conversation that we've been having with Exodus where Israel, if you can see on our map, they've been going from, they're in the desert, and in chapter 15, they were in Mara, then they went to Elim, and then today they're going to be in this place here called Rephidim. So we can kind of see when God takes them out of Egypt, the journey that they're going to take. Now, in Mount Sinai, we're going to be here soon, chapter 20, when he gives them the Ten Commandments. But we're not there yet. So we're right before that. We're in Rephidim. And this is an important place. It marks an important day in history for Israel that is still celebrated today. So there's a lot. This literally has so much content. So I'm just going to dive right in because there's so much that we're going to learn today. And it's just, it's so good. So in chapter 15, they get to a place where they can't drink the water and they complain. They can't drink this water. So he hits it with a piece of wood and it turns sweet. Last week in chapter 16, God provides what I call buñuelos. Because it was with honey and it was like a flour tortilla thing. And then he gave them chicken wings, which was quail. So I was like, that's a pretty cool diet, Lord. So he provides for them. Again, they're complaining about the food, but he provides for them. And so this week, it's going to seem a little bit repetitive, but we're going to see what's really going on here. So I'm going to read. Now, they've been directed by God, and everywhere they've gone, God has taken them there. That's really important to know. He has guided them with a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. So everywhere that Israel has gone has been on purpose. And that's very important to know. Okay, so I'm going to read, and it says Exodus 17. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Now, water, we take it for granted because we can just turn the switch on, you know, the faucet, and we get as much water as we like. We had an incident not too long ago at home where our sprinklers were just overwatering. So Gil said, you know what, let's be more conscious, and I'm going to turn off the sprinklers, and we're going to water ourselves, and we'll just moderate it, you know, because our bill was like $200. And so we started watering it, doing so good. But one day we came home, I think it was from church, and we came home around 8-ish o'clock, and so he turns on the sprinklers, we go inside, and they're like, we'll leave them on for a few minutes. Well, lo and behold, it was 11 o'clock at night, and the sprinklers were still on. And so we felt horrible. Like, my sister-in-law, when I told her the story, she left the room. She didn't even want to hear how much water we wasted. And so we take it for granted. Now, I don't know if any of you guys went to Joshua Tree, camping with the youth. Raise your hand. All of you guys who survived the wilderness. Well, we went, and this, you know, this campsite, although it was by the state, there was no running water and there was no electricity. And so all of a sudden, water became so valuable. All of a sudden, it was like, how much water we have in the garrafón? Like, how much water do we have in the water bottles? Like, we were rationing it. You were being conscious of it. Like, you know, usually, you know, I'll leave the faucet on while I'm brushing my teeth. But that day, it was kind of like, you know, and you're just being so conscious of water. And so what's happening here is that there's no water for them to drink. So it's not like they're making it up or they're being grumpy. There's no water to drink. So water becomes very valuable here. So today we're going to talk about how God, we said, takes them on purpose to this place of Rephidim. And here we are where there's no water. I hope that at the end of this message, we can have a grasp of what it is to grow in our faith, what it is to grow in the knowledge of God, knowing who he is, the victory we have in him, and how our character, our godly character, can grow. That's hopefully what we can learn today. But why don't we pray? Lord, I give you thanks for each person that is here this morning, Lord, that made a decision to come here from your word, Lord. And that we can gather around your wisdom, your spirit, your transformation, your power, and your authority, Lord. And I ask that we would just open our hearts, because you know everyone's need that is here, Father. You know our doubts, our fears, our struggles. You know everything about us, Lord. So I ask that your word will come and just transform our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. If we look at this in a spiritual way, I think of a life that I lived before I acknowledged Christ as my Lord and Savior. A life where my will was the only thing that mattered. And because my will is the only thing that mattered, and I didn't believe in God necessarily in the way of giving him authority in my life, I was bound by so many things. I was bound by sin. I was bound by death and everything that entails. You know, even if I wanted to break free from something, I couldn't, because I didn't have the living God inside of me. And so if we look at this parallel of what it's like to live without God, I want you to take just a second and remember that time. Remember a time when you didn't walk with God? Maybe a time where you went to church because your parents took you, but you yourself didn't have a connection to God. Because that's going to help us today understand what's happening with Israel. Israel has just come out of being slaves. This is the fourth time that they complain to God. And really it's because they're so used to being slaves and being told what to do by Pharaoh, which is like the world and Satan, that they don't know what it's like to be a free people. And so what's happening is that they're out of Egypt, but Egypt is not outside of them. And so that's what happens when we come to Christ. We say, Jesus, I want you to transform my heart. I want you to take possession of my heart to become my Savior. But then there's still things in our mind that are not necessarily from the Spirit of God, right? And so this is where Israel is. They don't know how to be free. So this is God being present in their lives and showing them, this is how you become a free person. This is how you will become my nation. So verse 2 says, so they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Doesn't this sound familiar? Like, haven't they said this before? If you look at them, you would say that they're so ungrateful. That where's their belief? They want to go back to their old life. But see, they didn't know that God had brought them there for a specific reason. And that was to show his power and help them grow their faith. And so God does that similar to us. This difficult situation, we could call it a trial. And when we have trials in our lives, this is very important. This is Wiersbe, a commentary. He says this. Every encounter God permits us to encounter will become either a test that makes us better or a temptation that can make us worse. Let me say that again. Every encounter God permits us to encounter will become either a test that will make us better or a temptation that will make us worse. In other words, when you come through adversity, when you come to a situation that is above and beyond your control, what's going to happen is whatever's on the inside of you is going to come out. So if somebody cuts you off on your car when you're driving, whatever you have on the inside is going to come out. I'm not going to ask what that would be. That's pretty much what's happening here. They're thirsty. So because they're so used to being slaves and bound, they don't know how to be a free people. So they what's inside of them comes out. And they start complaining again. And they've seen God's hand. I mean, they have a pillar of fire, a pillar, a cloud of light. They know where to go. Yet still, the problem is where? Anyone take a wild guess? The problem is in the attitude. The problem is in the attitude. Complaining, blaming. What happens is that it traps us and it doesn't allow us to grow spiritually. But if we were to take that and learn and say, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to cuss out that person who just cut me off. I'm going to submit my thoughts and submit my tongue to what's in the word, to who your character is. And I'm not going to do it. Sounds really hard, huh? But when we're governed by the Spirit of God and we realize that we're a free people, we'll be able to do it. Let's keep reading. Point number two is opportunity to depend. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massa, which means testing place, and Meribah, which means quarreling. Because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" I don't know if any of you have ever walked this valley where things have become so bleak, or you lose hope or faith that you start wondering, is God with us or not? You know, it's so easy for us to judge Israel, but if we start looking at our own lives, we can see ourselves reflected here. What I love about Moses here is in verse 4, he says, Moses cries out to the Lord. Moses is a leader who depends on God, and he's like, I don't know what to do. Like, Lord, I need you to intervene. You know, depending on God is something that I have to admit I've been on cruise control for a while now. And I feel like I've been in my faith for so many years, and I serve and I love and I'm fighting these battles of my flesh and the spirit and giving in to the Spirit of God, But lately I've had this struggle where my dependency has God has just, I'm here, I'm where Israel is, and I'm like, what's inside of me? What's going to come out? Because as all of you guys know, Ryan is going to the military. And these days have been really hard. And I feel parched. I feel thirsty. I feel like I need God in my life because I feel like I've been reminiscing of Ryan when I was pregnant with him, when he was little, as he walked, as he was this little Christian soldier. And I've just, all I've known is to be his mom. And now he's growing up and he's coming into adulthood and he's going to the military. And it scares me. It was scaring me. I was feeling like my faith is here, but what I'm living is terrifying. And I realized that my dependency on God has to match my faith with what I'm living. And so I had to talk to myself and say, God has been in every single day of Ryan's life. God has been in every single day of my life. God has been in every single day of your life. And even if God takes you to a place where you're thirsty and you don't see any solution, God is there. That's what's crazy about this chapter, is that they're thirsty, they're complaining, but God is present. God is right there. And I've had to tell myself, soul, you're going to depend on your God who's been faithful every single day. Sometimes we have to check our attitude before God and realize that he took us out of slavery, out of the world, out of bondage, out of death. And he is teaching us and he presents these situations and trials so what's inside can come out. Are we going to grow spiritually in our faith, in our knowledge of God, in his goodness, in his grace? Or is this temptation, this trial going to set us back and remind us of the ugly that's inside of us without depending on God? And you know what? Little by little, I've been starting to sense this joy again and confidence and depending on God and know that what Ryan is doing is honorable and God is going to bless him wherever he goes because he named him Matthew, which is gift from God. And I believe that. So guys, I encourage you that if you feel like your belief has been struggling, God is right there, and he will provide the water. All we have to do is depend on him. This day about striking the rock is so important in the history of Israel. I was mentioning that Israel to this day celebrates the Festival of the Tabernacles. And what this Festival of the Tabernacles is that for 7 days they just celebrate and there's just joy. And people say that, oh, you haven't experienced joy until you've gone to a Feast of Tabernacles, you know, because there's a lot of gratefulness. It's like their harvest. Some people even say that Thanksgiving came from there because it's a day of thanking God for everything he's done. So Jesus is around now, and the Israelites, they're celebrating the Feast of the Tabernacles. And on the eighth day is like the party day. So what they would do is they'd build these little wood tents, and they would eat in there, and they would like sometimes sleep in there if the weather permitted. And what they do is that they'd make this little shelter. And what they did was to remember what it was like to live in the desert. They were like, let's remember what it's like to be in the wilderness. And so on the eighth day, they go, and the priest goes down and gets some water in a jar. And he goes back to the temple there, and he pours the water over a rock. And what's crazy is that on this eighth day, Jesus, I'll read it here, it says, John verse 37, it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit. So have you ever asked yourself, what does it mean to have living water flowing inside of me? John is answering it. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus there is saying, you guys are celebrating the time that Father made water come out of a rock. Jesus is like, I'm the fulfillment of that. I am the fulfillment of the promise that you would have living waters come out of you and you would never thirst anymore. Let's keep reading. The third point is opportunity for victory. Verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Now, remember that the Israelites have been slaves. They're just set free. They're on this journey. All they want to do is get to the promised land. Right? They don't want problems with nobody. They just want to go. But all of a sudden, these Amalekites, who they're going to be very they're going to be like a nemesis, so to speak, in the history of Israel. We're going to learn that as we go along. But this is the first time that the Israelites, who were former slaves, now all of a sudden have to think of as warriors. Now, the Amalekites are, if you guys remember, Jacob and Esau, remember they were the brothers that fought inside of the womb. Now, the Amalekites come from Esau. They're his descendants. They're always trying to kill God's plan. Even so that one of their descendants is Haman. If you guys remember the book of Esther, tried to plot to kill all of the Israelites. So these Amalekites, like, they're always trouble for the Israelites. Verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Verse 12. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Here we see how God gives them the victory. And how God provides an opportunity for us to help and to serve. Aaron and Hur are Moses's like family. And it's crazy to see that Moses would get tired. This particular verse has been preached on, there's series on it, and it really talks about the fact that we're not in this alone. And I think that us, as Samia OC, as Samia Access, I really feel like this is an opportunity to listen to the Spirit of God nudging our hearts to grow in this area, that we are not alone, and that our bonds as brothers and sisters in Christ should grow in serving each other, in supporting each other, in loving each other. You know, I experienced something really special this week at in Semilla Tijuana. I was telling a friend of mine over there that, you know, Ryan was leaving and stuff, and on Monday, she sent me this preaching of how to know when to let your kids, adult kids, go. And I started listening to this preaching, and it was this encouragement of this woman saying, like, when your kids grow up, you have to release them to the Lord and let, you know, like, let him grow up. Let your bird fly, you know. And there was something about the timing in that message that I felt like, wow, that was so cool of her to take the time to send me a preaching on what I'm going through, you know? And I feel like me, myself, have missed opportunities to be that person for many of you guys here. And that's why this chapter is so big and important to me, and just when I filtered it in my own life, because I look at my missed opportunities to believe God, my missed opportunities to depend on him, my missed opportunities to realize that he gives me the victory, and my missed opportunities of serving. Gil's uncle called him recently, and he told him, you know, we're opening a restaurant, and we don't really know what we're doing. Do you think you can help us maybe with this? And do you think? And then Gilbert started telling him, yeah, I can help you with this and that. And so his uncle came over with the daughter. She's like 24, and she's like the one that's leading the restaurant, and the mom. And we just had this conversation, and they're not believers. But by the end of the conversation, they were recognizing that it was God in their life. And so Gil started helping them with like creating their menu, creating their website, creating their logo. And I realized that I was looking at Gilbert serve them with no benefit back. But he was taking advantage of an opportunity to serve. And at the end of this conversation, they were grateful and thanking God. And so that's the purpose of us serving each other and serving people. That's so that at the end of that experience, they can say, thank God, and give thanks. So even our serving glorifies God and makes people aware of who he is. Verse 13. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Now I want to read something that is really interesting, because if you go to Deuteronomy 25, we're going to see a different angle of this war, what happened. And this is why the Amalekites were actually very savage. So Deuteronomy 25:17 says, remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt, when you were weary and worn out. They met you on your journey and attacked all who were lagging behind. They had no fear of God. When the Lord your God gives you rest from all the enemies around you in the land he is giving you to possess an inheritance, you shall blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget. So Deuteronomy 25 just sheds light on how savage these Amalekites were. They come from behind and they attack the weak. So they probably went after the women, the children, the elderly, the sick. So they were not even fighting fair. So even when the enemy throws something at your life that he doesn't fight fair because he's out to destroy you, God is still present and gives us our victory. He gives us the victory because he's present. Amen? Let's read verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, which is the next generation. I love that. He's the next leader. This is the first time we hear about Joshua. But Joshua is going to be like second in command to Moses. So this is the introduction to him. And his first day on the job, what does Joshua do? He holds Moses' hands, right? He's starting good. And her, he's his relative too. But anyways, Joshua, he says, so write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. So this is beautiful, guys. Verse 15. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. Banner means a flag. I don't know if you guys, when you guys were coming in, you guys saw our banners we have out there. And you saw that big one that's like right on the stairs. Did you guys see that banner? A banner we use when we're at a soccer game, right? And we want everybody to know that we're on this team, right? A banner is something that everybody gathers under and says, we are loyal to this. We will have victory in this. Well, this is what God is in this moment. He is a flag. He is present. He is powerful. He gives us victory. Verse 16, he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. God wants us to grow in our faith, in our knowledge, in our character. And it's beautiful to see how throughout the word, he's always referring back to this time as such an important time, a time of thirst, a time of need, and how God is present. In Hosea 13:4, it says, yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt. That is crazy to me. And you were not to know any other God except me. For there is no savior besides me. I cared for you in the wilderness. Put your name right there. Cynthia, I cared for you in the wilderness and in the land of the drought. Put your name right there. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of the drought. Sometimes we have to go back and remember what it was like before Jesus. And the transformation he's done in our heart, that now he gives us the miracle of the Spirit of God inside of us. You think taking water out of a rock is a miracle? Try making a heart that is indifferent and cold, soft, and care and love. That's a miracle. And that's what God does in our lives. It says, as they had their pasture, they became satisfied. And being satisfied, their heart became proud. Therefore, they forgot me. This was my devo in Hosea. And I couldn't get this devo out of my heart the entire day because, as I was saying in the beginning of the message, that for a time, after years of being in God, you start going in this cruise control and you start getting satisfied. And it's not until we put in these places of thirst and of desert and of uncertainty and we don't know. It's like, Lord, are you really with us? Are you really with me? Are you present? Because we get so satisfied in our life, in ourselves, in our comfort. And the biggest sin that Israel had was these attitudes and these missed opportunities to believe, to depend, to have faith, to grow in their character. This is the same test over and over, right? Why did you bring us out here to be hungry? Why did you bring us out here to be thirsty? It's like the repetitive lesson, but God is like, it's okay, I love you and I'm present and you're gonna grow and you're gonna learn. And guys, all of you guys are so young here. You have your life ahead of you. I got to thank you over here. Thank you over there. Make sure that when you're in these moments, your attitude is of, Lord, I am not a slave. I am free. Help me grow in my faith and in my maturity, my dependence on you, my belief in you that you will give me the victory. And I will take opportunities to serve and to be a banner like you're a banner. What would our city be like? What would your school be like? What would your job be like if each one of us on Monday and Tuesday were a banner? What if all of us here were little flags walking around? Little flags walking around of like, God is God. God is good. God is merciful. I think situations around us, people would be affected. People would give glory to God. We could share our faith. This is an amazing chapter. And my urge to you is to not miss these opportunities. Not miss these opportunities because God is present in all of it, in our thirst, in our struggle. Why don't we bow our heads? Lord, thank you for this chapter because we can see you present in your grace, in your mercy with Israel, Lord, in your patience, in your provision, in your protection. Lord, let us not be this thankless army of former slaves. Let us be people that are grateful for the miracle of the living water that's inside of us. Let us be a banner for your glory, Father, of your goodness, of your grace. Lord, I ask that this message just go inside our heart and that it becomes something that we can remember on Monday and on Tuesday and take it with us. And that we can merge our faith with our lives, Father, that our lives can reflect our faith. Jehovah Nisi, you are our flag. You are our banner. You are good and you are present, Lord. In the name of Jesus,